Today on Real Radio.
You wait and God will bring. You wait and God will do. You wait and God will show up. You wait and God will speak to you. Just wait for Him. God is faithful.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through 2 Corinthians. Verses 12 through 24 of the first chapter contains an assurance about God's promises that when He says He will do this or that, it will happen. Indeed, reassuring words for the true believer. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, When God Says, I Promise.
The promises of God, they never change. Mark this down, verses 15 to 16. It's founded upon the fact that God never changes, His immutability, and it's this, God is unwavering. He never wavers. He's not capricious. He's not whimsical. Verse 15 says, and in this confidence I intend to come to you, says Paul, to come to you before that you might have a second benefit, which was to pass by way of you into Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you and to help you on my way to Judea. I'm coming. He says, I'm coming to visit with you. I've not abandoned you. And I want you to know that they accused Paul and they used the verbiage of him wavering. And Paul is saying, listen, I'm a servant of God. Yes, I'm an apostle. Yes, I'm Paul the apostle and I've seen Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus. But the truth is, God in His everlasting plans is unwavering. And Paul said, I'm submissive to the plans of God. We need to take a big, big breath of fresh air and exercise some grace. When people let us down, maybe we've had something set up in their lives or we've put them up in our lives, and if they let us down, we get all upset and we'll accuse them of being wavering. Listen, you can only hold God to that standard. And I can say that boldly because He'll never let you down. But Paul says, listen, I have this confidence. He's speaking about the fact that God is unwavering. I will come to you in time, Lord willing, Paul is saying, but my confidence is in the Lord. This word confidence in verse 15 means this, the reliance upon, the concrete assurance of, the dependability of. God is immutable. Man is not. Paul, remember, we had mentioned last time, Paul had his plan A. But God's plan A, the big A, is bigger than Paul's plan. And the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 9, a man's heart plans his way. That was Paul. But the Lord directs his steps. I like that verse. Can you guys maybe put that to memory? You want to memorize that verse? That's a good one. A man's heart. Put it this way. Paul the apostle planned his way, but the Lord directed his path, his steps. Jack has planned his ways. It's a fact. You've planned your ways. But you always say, thy will be done. The Lord will direct our steps. Hallelujah. If you've got a plan, it's good to have a plan. You should have a plan. But you should always be open to the Holy Spirit interrupting that plan, redirecting that plan. Amen. And I got to tell you something. I think if we walk with the Lord in the fear of the Lord, we will never be accused of being flaky in the Lord. Some people would say, well, you know what? The Lord led me to not come. The Lord led me to not show up. The Lord led me to... Now, you know, you got to be careful with that. You could use it as an excuse for laziness. That's what they had accused Paul of. Paul wasn't sleeping. He wasn't golfing in Jerusalem somewhere at the Hyatt. In fact, we know from the book of Acts, while the Corinthians were complaining, Paul was in Macedonia getting all ridiculed, mocked, and rejected for preaching the gospel. He wasn't having a good time. We need to remember that. What kept Paul going? The fact that God is unwavering. What's going to keep you going? God's unwavering. Okay, I don't know. Maybe I look okay this morning. I don't feel okay. But you know why I'm here right now? Because God's unwavering. I love it. Watch. Why are you here? See, I don't feel very good either. But why are you here? Because God's unwavering. Because we've come, because out of pursuing God, we know good things come of that. He's our strength, He's our power. And He's unwavering. And so we look at His promises, and in our weaknesses, the Bible says God is displaying His strength in our weaknesses. Praise the Lord. No wonder why then Paul says, I'm going to revel in my weaknesses. I like that. Paul's plan changed because God's plan never changes. The second thing is this: God is not only unwavering, but God is faithful. Verses 17 to 18, God's faithful. Therefore, he says, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Was I playing with your emotions, you guys? Or the things that I planned, did I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, or no, no? Verse 18, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. We weren't flaky and whimsical about it all. And I love that. In everything in life, Christian, write this down. In business, in marriage, in relationships, in ministry, keep this in mind, Ephesians 3:20. It's a verse I most often use in counseling with single people, most often. It's a powerful voice if you're single and you want to be married and you're getting a little older and that person hasn't come along yet. This is a verse I give and encourage people to look to. I'll use it in a verse where someone's been, listen, don't raise your hand, but you've either attended this church or some other church and someone's hurt your feelings. You got your heart bruised a little bit. You're hurt, disappointed, discouraged. And you recoil. You step back. Be careful. Be careful, because watch this. God may be very well. Hello, are you listening? Yes. God may very well be speaking to you, and you haven't received it yet. You haven't gotten it yet. But God has been speaking to you. Listen carefully to this message, Fred or Betty or whatever your name is. Jack. Listen to this message, because people will let you down. They don't have the power to fulfill your expectations. They don't even have the power to keep their own word. But God is saying to you today, I do, and I will. Keep your eyes, as a good friend of mine tells me, keep your eyes 6 feet or higher. Stop looking at men to fulfill your plans. Stop looking to people, parties, politicians, husbands or wives even, to fulfill all your dreams and all of your expectations. Pray for them, yes, but keep your eyes 6 feet and above, because God and God alone is faithful. And here's the verse. You see, what's the verse? It's Ephesians 3:20, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. That's funny, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Like one verse is greater than some other verse. It's the Bible. But it's a cool verse. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him, that's God, who is able. Wow, that's power. To do exceedingly abundantly above. That's a lot. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. A reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work in you, Christian. And people often say, I want to get married, but I'm 30 years old and the person's not come. Have my standards been too high? I wanted to marry a man who loves the Bible. Wait. I wanted to marry a man who loves God. Wait. I want to marry a man who prays. Wait. Or a woman. Insert that, right? Flip it. Wait. Because far too many people in relationships, and I'm picking on this one, but we can apply it to whatever case we're in, we start to give up. We lose heart on God's faithfulness. Faithfulness means time, ladies and gentlemen, time. Faithfulness has to have time, the time factor. It takes time to prove faithfulness. No one can be faithful in an hour. You got to know somebody. It takes time, a lifetime sometimes. God is faithful. Don't let down your expectations. You pray. See, listen to Angie. She knows. I'm telling you right now. Listen, you wait and God will bring. You wait and God will do. You wait and God will show up. You wait and God will speak to you. Just wait for Him. God is faithful. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 24, the Bible says, he who calls you is faithful, and he will also do it. Oh, man, I love it. 1 Corinthians 1, 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then here you go, one of the greatest verses, Philippians 1, 6, and the other two were of the greatest verses, too. Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. That is awesome. Has God worked in your life? Yes, I remember God working in my life, but I've backslidden. I didn't ask if you were backslidden. Has God ever worked in your life? Yes. Then guess what? It's time to get up and walk out of that complacency, out of that apathy, and rejoice in the fact that God keeps his promises, and he's faithful, and he will complete the work that he started. It may have been last year, could have been 15 years ago, could have been 30 years ago. I met somebody last week who said, this is the first time I've been back in a church in 30 years. And I said, you know what that means? It means, number one, as God has called you back, I'm very blessed and honored, my friend, that God would call you here after 30 years of waywardness. I'm honored. So thank you for coming. And the second thing is this, that the Lord must be coming soon if he called you out of your backslidden world to get right with Christ, because Jesus is coming again. And are you ready to meet him? And what an amazing thing that we can be confident that he is going to complete the work that he's begun in you. I tell you what, I live off that verse. Right now, today, at this moment, that's my favorite verse. He'll complete it. The third thing under this point, verse 19, is that God is consistent. Verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, he says, Paul, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no. We were not mixed up about what we were saying. Jesus is the Son of God, he is saying. We're not changing that. By the way, let me insert this. That's Paul's biblical worldview. What? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why do I say it that way? Because when you have, as I've been saying before on Wednesday nights, if you have a biblical worldview, you will always be right. What an arrogant thing to say. No, it's not. Actually, it's a humble thing to say. I'm never right. Jack is never right. But when I am holding to a biblical worldview, Jack is always right. Why? Because the Bible's right. I'm not asking God to be on my side. I may be ugly, but I'm not stupid. I'm going to get on God's side. That's where I'm going to be on. I'm going to be on God's side. I'm not going to do something and then ask God, hey, can you get involved in this? It'd be nice if you blessed this. God, I made a mess, but will you bless it? No, don't do that. Don't do that. And so, Paul is saying that it was not yes or no regarding him, but in him was yes. In Jesus Christ, verse 19 was yes. Toward the man or the woman, listen, who has dedicated their trust to God. Think of this. The word of God. The promises of God. God's promises. Paul is saying this. The promises of God are yes in Christ. Not inconsistent, but consistent. And Jeremiah 29:11, I gave it to you a couple weeks ago. Got to give it to you again. It applies to this verse. How consistent is God? This consistent. By the way, anybody visiting for the first time, here's the deal. Raise your hand if you're visiting for the first time. I'm not going to embarrass you. God bless you. That's cool. Awesome. Glad you're here. You're going to want to write this verse down. People around you, maybe when I said Jeremiah 29:11, those of you who are visiting, you heard people around you go, oh, there he goes, that verse again. Well, for those of you who are visiting, it's my favorite verse. And when you hear it, if you don't know it, it's going to be your favorite verse too. But how consistent is God? Because I'll tell you what, my emotions, my thinking are very inconsistent. How I feel about things changes. My emotions have violated me very much, very often in life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for, this is God speaking, by the way. I'm quoting God. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. So have you ever wondered what God thinks of you? Don't you? I do. And here's how I think. I shouldn't tell you this, but repeatedly, it happened again this week. Lisa, I just feel like I'm not making any difference for the kingdom. And she goes, I know, I feel the same way. So her and I like this at home. Just feel so worthless in the kingdom. And I reminded myself that General Nathaniel Greene, one of the brigadier generals under George Washington at Valley Forge, they waited it out so long, they waited so long, nothing was happening. Men were dying, feet were being cut off. Did you know that? We had no shoes at Valley Forge in the dead of winter, and we were our own soldiers, we had to cut their feet off to save their lives. Their feet were frozen like stone. And Nathaniel Greene, Brigadier General, told Washington, I pray to God for some great stroke of activity. We need action. We need to fight. The men are perishing without a fight. Did you hear that? You know, you never want to have an army deployed and then have them wait. They become demoralized. They're ready to go. They're ready. Christian, listen, are you ready? Because listen, the fight has come. The hour is now for us to fight for our kids, to fight for our marriages, to fight for our homes, to fight for our faith. Our nation is under attack. Christianity is being ridiculed, mocked, and dragged through the streets. And apathy seems to be reigning. But God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. We may be thinking downward thoughts that are pulling us downward. And God says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's an awesome verse. That's a great verse. If your heart is troubled, Isaiah 26:3 says, He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The word stayed is a nautical term or a construction term, one and the same. He or you will keep him, us, in perfect peace whose mind is anchored to or concrete adhered to you, God, capital Y, because that person trusts in you, God. That's a promise of God. God's consistent. Verses 20 to 24. When God says, I promise, it's all rooted upon his desire. It's rooted upon the desire of God. And I love this. God's desire. I love the fact that God has desires. Does that make him too personal to you? I love it. Jesus, on that night of communion, Passover, lifted up the cup and he said, I have desired this night with you. Wow. What is his desire? Verses 20 to 24, God is willing. Hallelujah for that. It's rooted. Listen, God's promises are rooted upon the fact that God has his desire, and it's holy. He's God. But listen, God is willing. Verse 20, for all the promises of God in him, that is Christ. This is an interesting verse, by the way. All the promises of God, it's not in God. This is very fantastic. All the promises of God in him, that's Christ. Theologically, you got to pause right here. Now, you may not like this. You may find this is boring, but I love this. How do I experience the promises of God? I can only experience them by him. Who's him? Don't think that it's this God removed from space and time. Oh, I love the meaning of this. Don't think it's some God that you've got to somehow get his attention. It is him, Jesus, who came already and has revealed himself to us. This verse, theologians, Bible students, mark it. This verse is exactly the meaning of when Philip said, Jesus, just show us the Father. And we'll be happy. And you remember Jesus' response? Philip, I almost see Jesus gently taking Philip's chin. Now that may be too feminine for you. I don't know. I like it. Jesus might have grabbed his chin and said, Philip, hey, Philip, focus, buddy. Focus. If you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. Amen. Philip, look, Philip must have went. Isn't that awesome? Man, I don't know about you, but that's good. For all the promises, God is willing. In him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. What in the world does that mean? God is willing to do this. Church, are you listening? That the promises of God are experienced only through Jesus Christ. And I want you to take out your pen, your pencil, your highlighter, and circle the word amen for this reason. The word amen here means that it is true. It means firm. It means rock solid. The word amen means rock solid, true, firm. The word here means that it can be built upon. So watch this. For all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus, they're yes, and they're rock solid to the glory of God through us. Meaning, this is an evangelistic passage. God is willing that all, listen, he's not willing that all should perish, but he is willing that all should be saved. God wants all people saved. How do they see the witness of Jesus Christ in this world? Watch this. Because the promises of God, listen, will never be known among the non-believers or the believers unless Jesus Christ, to the glory of God, is lived out through the life of the believer. How will the world know? You know why? You know, a recent poll just last week shows that Americans believe less in God now than ever before in American history. You want to know why? I know the answer. Everybody's asking. Bill O'Reilly said, why? I yelled at my TV. I gave him the answer. He didn't even acknowledge it. I know why. I know why. Here's the answer. Here's the reason why. The reason why. People in America are not believing in God anymore because there's such a pathetic witness coming from the church. That's why. Christians are damaging the promises of God. Conviction. We do not take God's promises in faith. And so we're living apathetic lives, lives with no conviction or very little conviction. We're not standing on the promises of God, and we're not seeing the miraculous powers of God because there's very few people believing in God. You may be here today in this gathering of people, but you listen, you're not trusting God. You're trusting the stock market. Good luck. Well, it's okay, Pastor. I bought some gold. You're not going to be able to eat your gold here pretty soon. Everything's going to be shaken soon. The Bible says everything that can be shaken shall be shaken, and only that which can remain shall remain, and that's a reference to Christ. Very serious time. God is willing. It's his desire that you would know him. And listen to this. This is fun. We're going to come across the finish line quickly. The word amen. Watch this. This is a real life experimental lab of life verse regarding the word amen. The word demands amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. In a lesson called When God Says, I Promise, it's part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. When God Says, I Promise is actually a series within a series and part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies through this part of Scripture. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, have you signed up to receive Pastor Jack's weekly devotionals called Real Life Devotions? Remember, you'll find them in your inbox every Monday. Real Radio listeners love them. Subscribe to Pastor Jack's Real Life Devotions. Simply visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. If you need to get in touch by phone, here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.